Last week we spoke about the relationship between a Rebbe and a Talmud, and a parent and a child, and now it's really going to lead us really as a bridge to the next series of Shiurim, that we spoke a lot about the mitzvahs of Kibud Av V'Em, and now we're going to talk a little bit about the mitzvahs of Kavod and Mora, and the relationship that a Talmud is supposed to have with his Rebbe, which is really the next series of sugyas in the first Bechamah Zechas Kedushin. I thought, as the almost the introduction to the sugya, we learn a sugya that actually doesn't appear in Kedushin proper, but it's very much related to the sugyas in Kedushin. And it's more of a yontif-oriented sugya, so it'll be a little bit into the, I guess, into the swing of things in terms of the yontif and Shavuos as well. So the sugya actually begins in Maseches Sukkah, on the first of the Mamre Kamos, where it tells a fascinating braisa, Tanu Rabbanan, Ma'aseh Rabbi Loi, Shalach L'Hakol Pnei Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Belud Beregel. Rabbi Loi once went to visit his Rebbe, Rabbi Eliezer, but Eliezer lived in Lud, so Rabbi Loi went to go visit his Rebbe. So he thought he was doing a wonderful thing. So Amalo, so Rabbi Eliezer wasn't so thrilled about the visit. He said, what you're doing is not really right. You're not really observing the Yom Tov properly. I had a shovel lechem to get you to visit. Who knows how long it took him, 8 hours till he slept like the Lud. We don't know exactly where he's coming from. So why? Shai Rabbi Eliezer Oimer. Because Rabbi Eliezer used to say, "Meshabeach ani as ha'atzlonin she'en yoytziv b'tayim b'regel." Said, "I praise the people who are lazy. They don't like to go anywhere on Yom Tov. The same people don't like to go anywhere any day of the year. But people like to stay home." So Rabbi Eliezer said, "On Yom Tov, that's a good thing to stay home. It's a good thing to be a shtickle lazy. Why? Mechsiv sabach tov isecha. The primary simple is Yom Tov. It's mostly with your family. Beisecha, beis as ishto. Beis refers to extended b'nei abayis." So a person can go run off to go visit the Rebbe on Yom Tov. It's not right. So Rabbi Eliezer gave his Talmud, Rabbi Eloi, some musa for coming to visit him. So he asks the Gemara, "Any really, is that true? That it's not appropriate to visit your Rebbe on Yom Tov?" Vamar Rabbi Yitzchak, minayin shechayva lachol Rabbi Beregel. You're obligated, it's a chiyuv, to visit your Rebbe on Yom Tov. So the Gemara gives a very, very strange source for this obligation. We'll just quickly read it, and then we're going to hopefully come back to it a little bit later. Let's just get the flow of the sugya. The Gemara says, "What do you mean that it's also to visit your Rebbe? Fakir, the halacha is you're required to." Shenema madua at aleches elav hayom lechodesh l'shabbos bechlal bechodesh v'shabbos bechayv inish l'avgulim ape rabbe. This pasuk appears in Sefer Malachim in the context of Elisha. We'll talk about it in a moment, just what the significance of this pasuk is. But the bottom line is, on the one hand, it seems to be an obligation to visit one's Rebbe, and now Rabbi Eliezer is frowning on it. Look, Hashad the also the yosef biyom had the also lost biyom. It depends how long the trip is. If you're going to go in the morning, you come back later in the afternoon, so you'll be with your wife for breakfast, you'll visit your Rebbe for a few hours, come back for supper, sure. If you're going to go visit your Rebbe in the other end of the world, you're not going to come back till after Sippas Torah, so that's not right. That's going to be mevatel to the mitzvah of a samach netov isech. So the question is, this halacha that the Gemara just told us really in passing, that if feasible, if practical, if it doesn't interfere with your personal family time, then chayv rabbo b'chag, it's a very, very strange source, because the source that the Gemara quotes is not a pasuk in Chumash, the pasuk in Navi, and the pasuk in Navi doesn't actually say a word about Yom Tov. The background of the story was the very famous story in Sefer Malachim that the Elisha used to travel around Eretz Yisrael, and he came to the city of Shunem, and there was an elderly couple there that decided they're going to have a big mitzvah, they're going to have put aside a little room in the house, and Elisha could always come and stay whenever he visits the town. And he stayed there for a while, and then Elisha wanted to give them a bracha, wanted to do them a favor, to thank them for all the gemilas chasar, all the chasar orchim. So he knew they didn't have any children, so he gave a bracha, gave an avuah, she's going to have a child, the baby born a year later. And then the psukim continued that when the baby got a little bit older, he went out to the fields with his father, and he got found some sunstroke or something, he got sick, and he fainted, and he died. And Gavald, so this woman didn't know what to do. She's got to go back to find Elisha. She's going to run to the other end of the Eretz to go find Elisha to find out that he should come and save her, bring, do a tchisa mesa, bring the baby back to life. So when she's running to go, trying to go track down Elisha, so her husband sees her going. She didn't tell him the end of the story, the baby had died. So he says, "Where are you going?" She says, "I'm going to Nishal Kim, I'm going to see Elisha." So he looks at her very perplexed. "What are you going to Elisha for? It's not Shabbat, it's not Rosh Chodesh today. What are you going to Elisha for?" "Oh, from the fact that he said to her, what are you going today for? Today's a regular Tuesday. It's not Shabbat, it's not Rosh Chodesh. You see from here that there are certain days of the year when you are supposed to visit your Rebbe." The problem is that the word Yom Tov doesn't appear in that pasuk. It sounds like every Rosh Chodesh you go visit your Rebbe. Every Shabbos go visit your Rebbe. So clearly the Chazal did not understand this pasuk in this way. Chazal understood that it's inconceivable that a person is going to visit their Rebbe every Shabbos. It's wild. Every Shabbos, go visit the Rebbe. It must be the word Shabbos here, as very often in Tanakh is actually used interchangeably with Yom Tov. Yom Rishon Shabboso, Mivachas Shabbos. Very often the Torah does refer to Yom Tov in the terms of Shabbos. Because after all, Yom Tov and Shabbos are similar. Amen Shabbos, Yom Tov, Echon Nefesh, there is a mitzvah of Malach, there is a mitzvah Shvisa, Mivalach on Yom Tov. So clearly Chazal understood the term Shabbos is referring to Yom Tov. Where does Rosh Chodesh come into the mix? So this is probably a throwback to the idea that Rosh Chodesh, Bizman Shabbos, Mikdash HaKayim, was on a much higher level of Yom Tov than it is today. Today, Rosh Chodesh is, the davening starts 10 minutes earlier, if you're lucky, eat a little bit of extra food and call it a day. Rosh Chodesh is not such a big deal. But with Bizman Shabbos, Mikdash HaKayim, it was much, much bigger because there was a Korban Musaf that was brought. Shagas Aryeh has a Chiddush where he suggests that with Bizman Shabbos, Mikdash HaKayim, was actually an Issa Malacha on Rosh Chodesh because the Korban Musaf was brought. The Rishami says that whenever you bring a Korban, so you're not allowed to do Malacha that day. It's an Issa Torah to do Malacha any day that you bring a Korban. But the Rishami asks the question, if so, no one should ever do Malacha because we always bring Korban Tamid every day. So the Rishami says, no, you're allowed to go to work. You're allowed to get Nechak Siv. Obviously, the Torah assumes that you're allowed to go to work. So it's a Xeris HaKosav that the Korban Tamid doesn't create an Issa Malacha. So Sheikh Isaiah suggests the Xeris HaKosav was that the Korban Tamid doesn't create an Issa Malacha. Korban Musaf does. Now, most of the days that we bring Korban Musaf, that's a moot point. Shabbos anyway can't do Malacha. Yom Tov anyway can't do Malacha. Rosh Chodesh, you would have been able to do Malacha on Rosh Chodesh. Kamash Balan, Bizman HaMikdash, that you're not allowed to do Malacha on Rosh Chodesh. So Rosh Chodesh, Bizman Shabbos, Mikdash HaKayim was at a much, much higher level than it is Bizman HaZeh. And so it could be that's what these psukim are referring to. We know this from other places in Tanakh. Let's say we know the story of Yonasan and Shaul and David. They were having big parties and big suddas. Rosh Chodesh was a very serious thing. The Shagas Ayi says he thinks that's the reason why we have four aliyahs on Rosh Chodesh. The Gemara says in Megillah that on a regular Monday and Thursday, you only have three aliyahs. People have to go to work. We have to dray around to Lendo Parashah Monday and Thursday. We got to go to leave Shul. We got to go to work. So three aliyahs. That's why in Chanukah and Purim also people go to work. Tainis Tibus, people go to work. So therefore, they don't want to up the ante and put up more aliyahs. But on Rosh Chodesh, on Chol HaMoed, no one's going to work anyway. The Gemara says, ain't bittul malach. There's no problem bittul malach anyway. So therefore, we can add on a fourth aliyah. No big deal. No one's going to be in such a big rush. What do you mean? Who's staying home from work? I got to work Rosh Chodesh. So Shagasai says, no, what that Gemara means is, Bizman HaMikdash, the corner of the aliyahs was made in the days of Ezra when the second base of Mikdash was standing. So the days of Ezra, Bizman HaMikdash, people didn't work Rosh Chodesh. So monthly, a day off every month. Kamash Balan, you could have an extra aliyah because no one's in such a big rush to go to work anyway. There's a very, very difficult pshat that Rashi and Tosis on that Gemara Megillah offer a different pshat than the Shagas Ayah. Rashi and Tosis say that what the Gemara means is as follows. The reason why you have an extra aliyah and no one's in such a rush to the shul is because the women don't work on Rosh Chodesh. There's a minig, Medrash says that the women don't do malachan, whatever that minig does, it doesn't apply to Zanazah, whatever it is, but there was such a minig, Bizman Chazal, for sure, the women didn't work on Rosh Chodesh. So the Rashi tries to say, because the women don't work on Rosh Chodesh, therefore we could have an extra aliyah. So the question is obvious. What is that? The women are not the ones in shul getting the aliyah. So what does that have to do with me? So the Shagasai doesn't understand that Pshat and Rashi and that's what caused him to give his own Pshat. So I thought that the answer to that Pshat is very, very simple. Yeah, what did Rashi and Tosis meant? They meant as follows. I noticed from my own practice, so I had this chus for 20 years to drive carpool from New Jersey. First 5 years from Paramus and 15 years from Bergenfield. I drove carpool every single day to Breuer. So I drove my kids and other kids along over the course of the years. I know that every morning I would come back from shul and there was a rush. Kids had to get ready. The kids were little at the time and they had to get the door on time. They had to make the carpool on time. They had to get the kids to school on time. And my wife was working, so she had to get to her office at 9 o'clock. Everything was all such a tension in the morning. So I knew that if I would raise a chalom, I used to daven here at the 7 o'clock minyan all the time. So as soon as daven was over, I would run out. I didn't have time to talk and to schmooze to catch up with people because I knew we had every minute counted in the morning. The only days that I would sometimes take advantage of a few extra minutes after davening was when it was a legal holiday. Because the legal holidays, the kids still had school. They had Thanksgiving, they still had the morning, Memorial Day, they had the morning, and Labor Day, all the legal holidays that my wife didn't have to go to work those days. So I knew those days she was more relaxed, she had more time, so I wasn't such a so dachuf. What do you learn from here? You see that when the women don't work, so the men have more time to stay in shul. And there's a correlation between the two. So I realized that the Shagasai probably didn't drive carpool, so he didn't have that. But I drive carpool, so that was the Pshat and Rashi. And anyway, back to a more serious note to Asugya. So the bottom line is that the Gemara is learning out from these psukim that there is a real obligation to go visit one's Rebbe on Yom Tov at least, or even if it's Bizman HaMikdash, even in Rosh Chodesh.
You're talking about Bizman HaMikdash, isn't everybody
go
right on?
Yeah, but you don't spend the whole week. That's how you shall have. You go one day, you meet a Kerman, so you leave, you don't stay the whole time. So when you come back, you go visit Rebbe. Well, if you luck out, you get Rebbe on the same day that you are there, so you go visit him at the same time. So one could raise a question about what the very nature of this allegation is. Gemara is deriving from Sukkim, it's part of the Teshuvah Pass, some kind of halacha that you have to visit your Rebbe. But one can understand this really fundamentally in one of two ways, in terms of plumbers. One way of understanding is that this is part of the celebration of Yom Tov. But there are a lot of things that we do on Yom Tov to enhance the Yom Tov experience. Some of the Yom Tov have their own, you know, specific mitzvahs. There's matzah, there's sukkah, there's lulav, and specific mitzvahs. Then you have simplest Yom Tov, and it's the malacha, and kavod, and nine, and sudas. All the Yom Tovim have certain dimensions of celebration to them. So perhaps this is another dimension of celebration of Yom Tov. This enhances the Yom Tov experience. I can understand why. Yom Tov is supposed to be chatzi lachem, chatzi lachem. So you go visit your Rebbe, you get a little spiritual boost, a little charge, your energy a little bit. So I understand why this would be a very Yom Tov oriented halacha. Well, maybe no. Maybe that's not right. Maybe the nature of this halacha, this is nothing to do with Yom Tov. This is a din of kavod harav. It's supposed to show the proper respect, proper honor and respect to a Rebbe. You go visit, you go say hello, show him give him that respect. We all of you should visit your Rebbe all the time. I gotta go to work. So I visit my Rebbe every day. So it's understood that there can be certain times of the year. So when I'm on vacation, have a few days off of work, that's the time to go, Kedai, to go visit your Rebbe. But the engine that's driving the Chiyav Lachma Pnei Rabbo is not really Hilchas Yom Tov. It's actually more of a Hilchas Kavod HaRav type of halacha. How would we figure out what the answer to that question is? We would probably look in the Rambam, but we don't even have to look what the Rambam says. We have to look at where the Rambam says it. Where does the Rambam quote this halacha of Chayav Adam Lachma Pnei Rabbo B'chad? If he quotes it in Hilchas Yom Tov, that'll be a clear giveaway that it's a Din in Yom Tov. If he quotes in Hilchas Talmud Torah, where he quotes the other Din of Kavod HaRav, then that'll obviously push us in the other direction. So the answer is very clear. The second of the Rambam comes. So the Rambam, at the end of the first line, the Chayav Adam Lachma Pnei Rabbo B'regel, writes back in Hilchas Talmud Torah, Perkei Halacha Zayin. I didn't even have to put the Rambam on the Rambam comes. I could have just put the Marmacham, Hilchas Talmud Torah. That's it. That doesn't matter what the Rambam says. The Rambam didn't answer the Gemara. But by placing it where he did, clearly the Rambam understood that the mitzvah is a certain dimension to it. If that's the case, and this is fundamentally a din of Talmud Torah, not a din of Kavod HaRegel, that would also explain why women are probably chayavos in this mitzvah. The chor women are chayavos. The whole makor for the din is from the Isha Shunamis. There's some who want to argue, you know, women are really pterols, but it was the same way that women volunteered to do other mitzvahs that they're exempt from. So maybe the Isha Shunamis, her practice was, her minig was to go visit Elisha on Yom Tovim. That's why her husband wasn't so surprised. If it would have been a Yom Tov, he was a little surprised that she's going on Tuesday afternoon or a regular middle of December, but he wouldn't have been shocked if she was going on Yom Tov, even though she wasn't necessarily Chayeves. But the Pashup Shand Allah is that she is Chayeves, because the whole thing is learned out from her. It's hard to believe that she's not the one who's Chayeves. Why is she Chayeves? If this is a Yom Tov oriented halacha, then maybe we should plug in the rule of mitzvah that she's nine gram. It's a time bound mitzvah. But if you hold it, this is not a Yom Tov Tikkadin. It's the Kavod HaRav Tikkadin. Kavod HaRav is not time bound. Kavod HaRav is 24/7, it's mitzvah del Chabad es Rabo. It's just that kavod plays out in certain ways. So the rest of the year, I can't take off from work and go visit the Rebbe. So I have to express my kavod maybe in other ways. If I bump into my Rebbe in the street, I got to stand up, I got to help him out, say hello, give him shalom aleichem, whatever the case may be. But the fundamental mitzvah of the Chabad es Rabo is not time bound, so that wouldn't qualify as a mitzvah es Sheshes Ban Gram. So maybe, because the Rambam put it into Hilchas Talmud Torah, maybe the Rambam got it from this very Mokor. Maybe the Rambam figured out that it must be a din of Hilchas Talmud Torah, Hilchas din of Kavod HaRav, dafka for the fact that women seem to be chayavos, which would point more the direction of being outside din of Kavod. It sounds like that. It sounds like it's not really Yom Tov oriented. It's really much, much more, much. The stomach that the Takana was, that's hard to believe, that they're icing in the stomach that the Chazawa Keveya, that this is the right time to do it. That the Rebbe knows that you're off the whole week. You have a whole week you're sitting around twiddling your thumbs, so go spend a few hours instead of going to Six Flags every day. So go visit Rebbe for one of the days of Cholamoy. The day that it's raining, go visit the Rebbe. So how exactly do you define what's called the Rebbe for these purposes? Rebbe, any person who ever taught you anything. Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos that if somebody taught you one word of Torah, you have to treat him with a great respect. Everyone's got to be spending the whole life visiting each other. I call you Aleph Beis, let's go visit. Everyone's got to run around. There. How do you define a Rebbe for these purposes? So there is a very famous Gemara in the third of the Mamre Komos, in Bava Kama Daf Mem Aleph. Actually, Gemara appears in a few different places in Shas. But in Bava Kama Daf Mem Aleph, I'll give this Anya. Shimon Hamsuni, the Amrila Nechemya Hamsuni, it's not clear who the author of the statement was, either Shimon Hamsuni, Nechemya Hamsuni. He had a unique style in terms of learning, that anytime he saw the word S in the Chumash, he knew right away that's coming to Rabbos. S is always a ribui. S is always coming to include something. So he spent his whole career going from the beginning of Bereishis till he got to Hefei Tu Sefer Dvarim. He He got the Esa Shavu Kechativa, then he got into trouble. He said, I'm going to, what am I going to include? That's like tantamount to kfir, it's blasphemous. S means that something is similar to the originals. Something Khalil similar to the Marshall, that's a Venezuela. So he stopped darshaning. So he realized that his whole style of drush was not correct. Much such an Isha Emes. The most, many people, they say Shia, and said the Talmud is the bomb kasha. So instead of saying that, no, yeah, you're right, the whole Shia was wrong, I give you a finagle to say, no, it's really machlokes, it's a this, and now we'll talk about it after Shia. You don't want to mess up the whole Shia. So Shimon Amsuni and Chaim Amsuni said, no, if the Talmidim asked the kasha, they said, Rebbe, what are you going to be marbe from Esra Mukachti? We realized that his whole system of learning was not correct. So Pirushi stopped. So Amalot Talmidim, the Talmidim said, Rebbe, call Esen Shimon Terash Batelein. What are we going to do about all the other Esim? All the Shurim got pages and got notebooks for the full day of Shtikl Tiras. What are we going to do? So Amalot Kishem Shikibat Ischala Drisha Kachibat Ischala Prisha. He said, the same way I derived benefit, I derived schar, I received reward for all my years of Talmud Torah. When I say Shtikl Torah, even if it turns out that the Shtikl Torah was maybe flawed, maybe there was a mistake in it, it's still a mitzvah Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah doesn't just mean when you draw the right conclusion. Talmud Torah means being involved in the act of Limud HaTorah. I'm learning. Part of the learning process to make mistakes. You make mistakes, you correct it, you go on, you change, you go right there. So that's all part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So Nehemiah said, Shimon Suni, and Chaim Suni said this, I mean, don't worry about it. We got schar for what we did, but now we get schar for being Isha Emes, that we don't go any further. But then Rabbi Akiva came along and said, no, that I have a drush from S. What's the drush from S? The rabbis, Tamid Chachamim, that you have to have Mora for Tamid Chachamim as well. So not only do you have to have Yir Shemayim, S comes to tell me there's a Chiv of Mora, there's a Chiv of showing awe and reverence to a Tamid Chacham also. That's Esa Shem Kechatira. So the Mefarshim say, it's a little bit too tight in this Gemara, they say that when did Rabbi Akiva come to this realization that Talmid Chacham was so great, you have to have Mora for him? When he saw what an Isha Emes Shimon was. He saw that he was willing to give up his whole career, close his whole yeshiva, throw out all the notebooks and say they're all wrong. Azai Isha Emes, such a person, talk of him, you have to have Mora. He's an Emes Talmid Chacham. He's the real deal. Yeah, I'm not sure that's the Pshat in the Gemara, but that's the Drush they say in the Gemara. So Tosfos has a kasha on this sugya. As we said many, many times, Chassidim read this Gemara, wow, unbelievable, Shem Kechatira, Tamir Chom, Rabbi Akiva, saved the day, and wonderful. And Tosfos learned to sit like a real misnag. Tosfos says, wait a second, Vim Toimar, if Rabbi Akiva is right, Esa Shem Kechatira, Mipnei Sevet Tokom Lamali, Tebel Lemehocha. Why is there another pasuk in the Dinim of Kavod for Tamir Chachamim? There's a whole sugya in Maseches Kedusha, from which I'm going to get to in future weeks. But the Gemara derives from Sukkot, Parshas Kedosh, they say, but talk about that, the Pnei Zokin. But you have to stand up for older people, you have to be mechaber older people. So the Gemara says that the word Zokin doesn't just mean someone who's literally older in years. Tamid Chacham, Zeshikon HaChachma. The term Zikanim in the Chumash very often means that Ziknei Yisrael doesn't mean he collected all the senior citizens. He collected the Zikanim, the leaders, the Tamid Chacham, the Jewish people. So we know there's a bit of cover for Tamir Chacham. There's a regular bit of cover for Tamir Chacham. So man is chad shlom and Rabbi Akiva. It sounds like Rabbi Akiva came along and solved the world's problems. He discovered in America there's a mitzvah to be mechaber Tamir Chacham. We knew that already. So what is the difference with Bnei Sefer Tokum and Esa Shem Kechatira? So says Tosfos, V'yei Shlomo D'Ocha B'Rabbi Muvok, K'disnan Me'i Rabcha K'meri Shemayim. Tosfos says, this din of Esa Shem Kechatira is not talking about regular Tamid Chacham. It's talking about your own Rebbe. Because we find in Chazal, the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, they use the phrase, Meira vis-a-vis your personal Rebbe, Meira Rabcha K'meir Shemayim. It doesn't say, let somebody else's Rebbe be like Meir Shemayim. It doesn't say, let that Tamid Chacham, who never was in a Shia, be like your Shemayim. Meira Rabcha K'meir Shemayim. Esa Shem L'Kechatira means your Rebbe takes on the din, like the Shechina K'viyachol, in the sense that there's a mitzvah of Meira. A regular Tamid Chacham, you have to be mechabit. Have to stand up for him, and we'll talk hopefully in several weeks to come about nuances of difference in terms of gradations of what you have to show for a Rebbe Muvok and a regular Tamid Chacham. But this special din of Esa Shem Kechatira, the Chi of Meira, whatever that means, the din of that, that only applies to someone who is your Rebbe. And how do you define who's called your Rebbe? What makes somebody your Rebbe? It is the throwback to a sugya in the second Berachah Maseches Bava Metzia, that the Gemara discusses what makes somebody your Rebbe Muvok. How do you define what's called a Rebbe Muvok? So the Gemara says, "Mishalom the Rav Chachmasai." Someone who taught you most of what you know. again, especially in the olden days, so everything was Torah Shebaaleh. So all your knowledge of Torah Shebaaleh came from your Rebbeim. So if you had one Rebbe and you were in Cheder, and another Rebbe a little older than your Rebbe, you spent most of your time with, you learned 20, 40, 30, 40 years, but one Rebbe, he's Rebbe Shalom, the Rav Chachmasai, he takes on the Lachik status of your Rebbe Muvak. That's why the post can be very, very weary, Bizman Hazeh. We really have Rabbanim Hokka Bizman Hazeh, because the system of learning is so radically changed. We have everything's in print now. So in the olden days, nothing was in print, nothing was written. So everything you learned came from your Rebbe. So the bulk of it probably came from one Rebbe. Whereas today, so some Acharonim have a Lashon, a Svarmer Rebbeim. So art scrolls are Rebbe, I don't know, whatever, the Siftas are Rebbe, whatever your Dirshim or Shemruz are Rebbe, whatever your art scroll, whatever you learn most of your Torah from. So those are your Rebbeim. There are some Acharonim have a big Chiddush. The Gemara says in Masech Sanhedrin, you're not allowed to Paskin and Shaila Bifnei Rabbi, or Slahurst Bifnei Rabbi. If your Rebbe's there, you have to consult your Rebbe on a Shaila. Some Acharonim write that, according to some Rishonim, that only applies to Rebbe in the book. Some Acharonim write, maybe the din doesn't apply to Zman Hazeh, but it does apply to Svarim. Namely, you're not allowed to Paskin a Shav without looking in a Sefer first. Because if you don't open up and look and check, make sure the Mishnah Berurah said that, so then that's Gemara Halach Bifnei Rabbi. I don't think that's the meaning by Rabbanim today. Myself included. I cannot say that every time everybody calls me, every shayla on the top of my head, I go open it. Wait, I can't answer shayla. Call me back in an hour when I go find some svarim. If it's a hard shot, you got to look it up. Okay, then you got to tell them, wait, we have to consult. We have to ask our rebbe. We have to look for svarim. Let's do it. I close you with, I forgot to say Alav Yovo something. So most of us answer, most of us, you know the answer, you answer the top of your head. So I'll call pardon for twice develops this idea that there's a rebbe muvok, and then there's a rabbanim she'en muvokum, which is not necessarily your rebbe. So the chora, this din of chayv al mahakot rabba beregel. So this applies to a Rebbe Muvok. That's why if you look at the Rambam back to the second of the Rambam Kamos, so the Rambam put this din into the din of Rebbe Muvok. The Rambam distinguishes between the two different prok. We look at Tamatera. The din of regel to benecham he puts in one halach, one parak, and the din of Rebbe Muvok he puts in another parak. So the Rambam put the din of the mahakot rabba beregel in the parak about your real Rebbe, your personal Rebbe, your Rebbe Muvok. So the question is, if we don't really formally have a Rebbe Muvok Bisman Hazeh, so does any of this halach apply? So Tosfos adds on another point. Tosfos adds at the end of the fourth of Rambam Kamos, Ober Rav Muflog the Havikei in Rabbi. What if you have someone who's a really, really, it's like an astounding Talmid Chacham? He's like, Rosh Yeshiva Shechem Mamala. He's above and beyond the regular rabbis of that generation. The rabbi's rabbi. So someone who's a Muflog B'Daira, unique, the Gadol Ador, the Faisk Ador, a great Rashiv Ador. So those people have the status of your Rebbe Muvok, even though you didn't really learn from them directly. What's the bira davar? So the chor of the word is that when we measure, Rav Chachmaso, the Rav Chachmaso can be measured almost in different ways. There's the literal, quantitative value of Rav Chachmaso. And then there are other things as well, other ways to almost to gauge Rav Chachmaso. So the Rav explained that he thought that, let's say you have somebody who taught you how to learn. He's the one who you always considered to be. He's the Rebbe who made the rush. He gave you a derech limud. He started you off in learning. He got you, into the style of learning, and then you continued on your own for many years. So the Rav used to say about his father, about Ramesh Soloveitchik. Ramesh Soloveitchik had the din of a Rebbe Muvok for him. Even though the Rav was 80 years old, so the Rav said he hadn't learned with his father in 50 years. But quantitatively, he learned a lot more in the 50 years since his father passed away than in the 10 years he lived together with his father. But he said it didn't matter that his father was the one who he was his Rebbe. He taught him from the young age. The Rav didn't really go to school in any real shape or form. It was a little bit the cheder, then he left cheder, but he basically learned with his father. So his father was his Rebbe Muvok, not necessarily quantitatively, but he was the greatest hashpa on his life. So perhaps that's what Tosfos is driving at here also, that when you have a Rav Muflog, so a Rav Muflog has a tremendous hashpa on the entire generation, even though you didn't necessarily know the person. Let's say, for example, we looking around the age group, certain people here. So we grew up in a time when Rabbi Moshe Feinstein was the Pesach of America. Did anybody here learn with him? Maybe there are some people there with Talmidim. I never had this chance to see Rav Moshe. I never heard a psach from Rav Moshe directly. I never was in a shiur of Rav Moshe. Never asked him a shaila. But to say that Rav Moshe didn't have a major hashpa on that olam psach, anyone who grew up in America in the 50s, 60s, 70s was mushpa a million times over from Rav Moshe. Rabbi Soloveitchik, most of us were, myself, I didn't have this chance to be in the Rav Shir. Maybe some people did have this chance. But the Rav had such a hashpa on certain parts of Olam HaTorah that goes way beyond quantitatively. Was he necessarily did most of my Torah from him? No. On the other hand, all my Rebbeim are learned from him. So how can you say that he wasn't a quote-unquote a muflik shebedor in terms of having a hashpa? So maybe that's what Tosfos is driving in here as well. It could be that the whole idea is really learned out from the Isha Shunamis, because the Isha Shunamis, I don't know, we don't necessarily give her a bechina to find out who did she learn most Torah from. I don't know who she learned. You know, she didn't meet Elisha until she was an older woman already. Where she went to Beis Yaakov when she was a little girl, and she went to, she had Benos leaders when she was a teenager. So she obviously had a little bit of Torah grounding. And then over the years, she had a relationship to, built up with Elisha. So was Elisha her Rebbe in the classic sense of the word? It's hard to measure that. But Elisha, he was the Navi of the door. He was the Talmud Muvuk of Eliyahu Navi. He was the leader of all of Ruchlius and Klai all the time. So she viewed him as her Rebbe Muvuk. And that's why she would visit him on Yontif. That's why the husband said it's good that you visit him on Yontif. Right, not on Tuesday in December, but on a regular Yontif, that would be appropriate. So this idea of visiting one's Rebbe, so again, either it applies to literally one's Rebbe Muvuk or to some kind of shape or form, someone who's serving the role to some degree, parameters of a Rebbe Muvuk. There is a question in, that the Acharem raised in the Yehuda as a Chiddush Gadol about this halacha, that he claims that maybe this entire mitzvah doesn't apply b'zman hazeh. Not because we don't have remain b'zman hazeh, but for a totally tangential reason. It's based on a sugya actually in Kiddushin coming up in the next couple of daf on the fifth of the Ramakrims. The Gemara says, "Ein tamer chacham rashi lama pnei rabo el shachas v'yarbis, k'dei shelo yir kvodim ruv mikvod shemai." You're not supposed to stand up for your Rebbe more than twice a day. If you see a Rebbe comes into the base bench in the morning, you stand up. Comes in the evening, you stand up for him again. Every time he comes by, you don't have to stand up. Why? Now you don't have to. It's not right. Why? Because then you're giving your Rebbe more kavan than you give it to the Rebbe Shalom. You only come to shul twice. You come to Davin Shachar in the morning, you come to Chabayim later in the afternoon, whatever it is. You come to shul twice, three times maximum a day. Said you don't give so much kavan to your Rebbe above and beyond what you give to Kvod Shemayim. That's like a bizarre into Kvod Shemayim. So the Yehuda said that he thinks that based on this Gemara, the mitzvah hakofe rabo b'chag has to be reevaluated b'zman hakorban. In the olden days, as you mentioned correctly, we went to the Beis Hamikdash, Makom Pnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Pnei Adon Hashem. And then, in addition to visiting the Shekhinah, we went to go visit our Rebbeim as well. And that's not a bizarre into HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I just went to the Beis Hamikdash on Monday and on Tuesday. I go to visit my Rebbe. Bizman Hazeh, you're not going to the Rebbeim Shalom. So you're going to visit your Rebbe. That's like you're giving more cover to your Rebbe than you're giving to the Rebbeim Shalom. That's not right. So that's like a bizoyan to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it says in the Rebbe, maybe Bizman Hazeh, it's better to not to visit your Rebbe. So what does that mean? What kind of svar? It's very defeatist, so to speak, attitude. So what's the Rebbe driving at? So the Chayyur, the Rebbe's Chiddush is based on the Chakira that we had from before. If the nature of the mitzvah of visiting your Rebbe is not a bit of Kavod HaRav, it's not a demonstration of Kavod HaRav, it's a way to celebrate Yom Tov, it's part of the Yom Tov celebration. So then, would anybody ever say the following? Well, I can't get a sukkah, so don't shake a lulav. What am I doing? I can't get the matzah, so therefore don't have sukkah Yom. Well, each mitzvah stands on its own. So you can't fully on the regular, okay? So you can't. Never. We can't do that, but at least let's go visit our Rebbeim, and that'll be our mixus of a simple shalom, a mixus of a celebration of Yom Tov. So the Rebbe's cheshbon doesn't really make any sense. So where's the Rebbe coming from? The Rebbe is clearly learning like the Rambam. It's a din in Kavod HaRav. So if the whole thrust of the mitzvah is lechabed es harav, so that's what the Gemara Kedusha Lama Gibbul teaches us. Whenever you mechabed your Rebbe, you have to make a calculation and see. Is the kavod you're showing Bas Badam, is it superseding Kvod Shemayim? If you're going to above and beyond Kvod Shemayim, that's a problem. To demonstrate kavod HaRav at the expense of Kvod Shemayim, even if it's not your fault, but Lamaisi, you're not going to visit the Rebbeinu Shalom, therefore it's not appropriate to go visit your Rebbe. So that cheshbon, that shtickle Torah, that cooler, so to speak, of the Rebbe Yehuda, that this mitzvah is not relevant to Zman HaKorban, this only seems to fit in the Rambam's model of the mitzvah. That's a kavod HaRebbe type of a thing. It would be a covered yad that then the chayyur the cheshbon would not be correct. So a good part of me have this halacha makal pei rabba berego. The poskim have discussions about can the rabbi be meichel on it? Can he be yotzei with a telephone, Zoom? You know, a lot of different ways of potentially fulfilling or not fulfilling this mitzvah properly. Bizman hazeh. So if you go down to Rudat Nei Yehuda, maybe the mitzvah doesn't apply at all. If you're looking for a Rebbe Muvuk or a Dilma Dor, so then I don't know if the Gedolim would be interested if everyone coming to visit them on Yom Tov, you have to ask them, maybe the Moichel on that. You have to figure out what the proper ways. If you figure out the proper parameters to fulfill this mitzvah, so be it. You should try to fulfill this mitzvah as best as one can. It's a lot easier to do on Pesach and Sukkot because you have to do the Chol Moed. In Shavuos, it's a lot tougher to fulfill this mitzvah unless your Rebbe lives in town. So otherwise, you have to try to do your best. Okay.
Shkoch.
Yeah, forever. Thank you. Thank you.
many distinctions. I can talk about that in the future. Sure, many, many distinctions. Okay.
Okay, thank you. Just another Shabbos issue. Somebody going through the stream.